I was looking last night. I feel this impressed on my heart this morning to try to deal with just a few minutes. Psalm 78, he said, I want you to give ear. Oh, my people. Now, it's not bothering me so much about what the world's doing, because the Bible said they'd be doing it that way. But what ought to really get us nervous is what God's people is a-doing. He said, I want you to give ear to my law, and I want you to incline your ears. Look there, two of them. And watch this. Incline to the words of my mouth is what the Lord said. He said, I'll open my mouth and a parable, and I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Now, y'all going to have to help me when I get there in a minute. Y'all act like we're at the funeral home this morning. I mean, I just left a camp meeting hiring a kite, and I've done coming here this morning. Y'all depressing me. But I'm the pastor. I got to be instant in season, out of season. But the singing's been good. Somebody say amen. I hope a preaching can get good in a minute. It said, come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Not talking about what me and you've done, but what He hath done. For He established testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel when He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Thank you for standing this morning. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that have gone and come in our country. My dad-in-law was a brick mason for years. It's not many men nowadays know how to lay brick. Used to, Brother Mike has built a cabin. He went into Kentucky. He got a cabin tore down there that was built in the around the mid-1800s. And the men in those days used what they called a foot aid. They would hew logs out of the country, and very unique. It wasn't on a plane. It wasn't as smooth as you see this, but it had notches there in the logs. And when they were fit together, they call them a dovetail, and those logs set together. I doubt if there's many of us in here could erect that type of structure this morning. And the reason being is because nobody has taught us. You know, there's a lot of things that our forefathers done. Most everybody in our church, If depression really does hit us and famine, we're going to be in trouble because we don't even know what end of the plow to get a hold of. Amen. We'd hook it up backwards. A lot of us would be sort of in front of the mule instead of behind the mule. And the reason nobody knows about gardening because nobody's been taught how to garden. So we see a lot of things in our culture that is fastly has left our country. I love going in the mountains, and you know, there you'll find men that can put cane bottoms in chairs. I was just born in the wrong generation. I just love all that old-timey stuff, amen. I mean, I'm talking about Eagle brand syrup, neighbor, and good old-time biscuits and butter, and I'm talking about smokehouse country ham. Not nothing from the Piggly Wiggly, friend. Smokehouse country, where you go out there with a butcher knife and cut it off. And fried rabbit, praise God. You give me the backbone, the tenderloins on a fried rabbit. Now we're going to get down a bit. Some of y'all, yeah, I'll eat your pet you bring into my house. You little tree-hugging looking rascal, you. Yeah, man, I will eat your pet. Amen. Some of you look goofy with your rabbit on a leash. And some of you look real goofy with them snakes around your neck petting up. Somebody go and say amen right there. Boy, I love old-timey stuff. I just like it. I like that kind of stuff. I like old-timey people. And boy, we live in a generation, if we're not careful, they're going to absolutely know nothing about church. I notice a lot of places I go, there's not many young people. Thank God for our young people. I want to say something right here. I am invested in our young people. I want to be involved in our young people. And I want to be interested in our young people. I want to go and say something right now. Our young people don't have to wash folks' cars coming down the road in order to do something. Our people pay their tithes and then we help our young people do whatever needs to be done. I'm glad that we've learned we better invest in our young people. I'm glad we have a good young men that is working with our young people and young ladies that's working with our young people. And here God writes a story and He tells us there's something that we better be informed about. Now it ought to bother us this morning. I realize we're way above average. I realize we have a good mix. We have a good nucleus of young people, have a good nucleus of middle age, and we've got a good nucleus of older people. And Brother Randy, I'm getting to the older people. Used to, I was the young preacher. Now I'm the older preacher. Used to, I was sitting, Brother Randall, under preachers. Now I got young preachers sitting under me. And so what goes around comes around, so you be sure to be careful what you're doing when you're going around. Now, this morning, I want to preach on this generation to come. Now, there's great responsibility to our church. Let me tell you something. You know how come that young lady got up here and played the piano this morning? She just didn't get that overnight. Somebody had to teach her. Somebody had to give their time to make that happen. On the other end was responsibility. They had to do their part to make it happen. And so what we better realize in our church, we have great responsibility of a generation that's coming up. As these little ones come and they gave in the can. Some of y'all thinks that's so simple, but it's really so profound. So profound, because they're learning things, they're seeing things. Did you notice three little young'uns come piled in the altar a while ago beside the older people? You know why they done that? Because they seen you pray. Boy, as a church, we have great responsibility to a generation that's coming along behind us. Now, if I took you to a field, and there was a mule and a bridle, and there was a single tree plow. Some of you don't even know what that is, but you can look it up in your dictionary when you get home. And you had two lines. You wouldn't know whether to holler gee or haul. I mean, you wouldn't even know, neighbor, what end to hook up. But let me tell you something. The reason that people know how to plow, how they know how to do things, they've been taught. What are we teaching at our church? What are we teaching in our homes? I want to say this. I only have your children, what, maybe 6 hours a week, 5 hours a week. Some weeks, if I'm real long-winded, 7, 8 hours a week. But you're spending a lifetime. And here, on this generation to come, we better get involved, first of all, in teaching them the Word of God. Because He said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, I want to say we ought to have preaching. Preaching ought to be a priority. In Titus chapter number 1, here Paul is writing to a young pastor, Titus. And he's telling him in Titus 1 and verse 2, he says, "We have an hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times," watch this, "manifested His word through preaching, which was committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Now, preaching simply means to proclaim, to publish, and to cry aloud. It doesn't really, you don't have to know everything. Just what you do know, just holler it real loud. You don't like that point, but I'll move on. Maybe it'll be the one there in a minute you can say. I said, it ain't really what all that you don't know. It's just what you do know and talk about it real loud. There's things in this book that I don't know about, but the things I do know about, I'm going to convince you that I'm convinced about them. And I didn't write this book. I just read out of it. And we ought to be teaching a generation to come about the Word of God, how to hear the Word of God. Preaching time is very special time. Now, we have loud preachers. We have quiet preachers. We have preachers of different diversities, and thank God for that. You know, you go out in that parking lot, there everybody didn't pull in a 2500 HD this morning. Everybody didn't pull in a BMW. Wouldn't we be all bored if everybody was just alike? Some of you, you ought to thank God that you're a little different. And so, what I'm saying, we need to have preaching. And just cause that a man's not running around and a slobbering and a hollering don't mean he ain't preaching. A lot of y'all, I'm bringing the best preachers in America in, they can quote the whole Bible, and y'all look at me and say, "Well, why didn't he preach tonight?" Y'all just used to your preacher running around wild and crazy. And that's all right. It's good to be liked. Somebody say amen. But that's why there's red cars and black cars. And I'm going to tell you something about preaching that's going to help you now. Preaching is like a buffet. If I go to a buffet and, if there's fried chicken, I'm going to get some of that. And if there's a ribeye steak, I'm going to get some. I must be hungry. I'm preaching about food. But If I come to sauerkraut, you know what? My wife is going to get that burnt cabbage. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to skip over. It don't mean that I can't get something off of there that'll help me. I just don't prefer that. So I'd be careful if a feller's got a little bit of beets or sauerkraut in his message. I'd want to hear everything he had to say. You may get something out of preaching if we teach our children to hear preaching. Just because a man don't raise his voice don't mean you can't get something to help you in your life. And so we need to teach them about the Word of God. And we need to have preaching. Preaching ought to be our priority. Now I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate this about Brother David and Brother Tim. I can tell you something. These men, they've got a hold of, and it's helped our church. They're here to set the tone for preaching. Brother David will ask me many times, "Pat, what do you want done?" Brother Tim, "Pastor, what do you want done?" We have to get it set for preaching. Preaching like what Brother Randy said this morning. Sometimes, friend, you can't sing a song, but you can read the book. And so we need to have preaching. It ought to be our focus. Every time we come, we ought to be thinking, "God, what you got to say to me this morning?" We ought to have preaching too. We ought to hear preaching, give ear. Verse 3, we ought to hold on to preaching. Now, preaching is a dying breed. Matter of fact, most churches doing away with preaching, they brought in all their skits. Now help me preach. Now they won't go near as long. Preaching's a dying. I thank God that He's given us some good young preachers here that's got a zeal to preach. But you know something? We ought to hold on to preaching in verse 3, which we've heard and known and our fathers have told us. Now, we ought to hold on to preaching so we can hand it to somebody else. And then verse 5 and 6, we ought to hand down preaching. I hope when I leave here, there's somebody that'll take this pulpit that will trust God to do the preaching. It's not about how pretty my outline is. It's what God wants for the hour. I went to revival the other night and meeting it broke out and I felt sorry for the preacher. I've been there before. Brother Mike, he got up, he told people to turn these texts. And he kept turning. We was all there and he said, okay, I don't have my outline. Well, you ought to try it sometime. And he done a wonderful job. He done a wonderful job preaching with that. But I'm just saying this. Well, we better hand down some preaching that somebody knows a little bit about it. Because we leave it out of here, neighbor. And we not young as we used to be. And so we better be teaching this generation to come about preaching the Word of God. We ought to hold on to preaching. We ought to hear preaching. We ought to have preaching. Y'all have preaching down there all the time? Yeah, we have preaching all the time. Well, what y'all got for the seniors? Well, we got preaching. We won't know what you got for young couples. I tell you what all these young couples interested in. They interested in preaching. And if you get interested in it, it'd help your home. Well, I want to know about you young'uns. What have you got for young? You got go-kart rides, pony rides, helicopter rides? No, we got preaching. Wednesday night, we take the teens out back. A young man preaches to them, gives an altar call. They pray together and sing together. We're trying to teach young people about a generation that's going to take our place. Well, I'll teach them about the Word of God. We ought to hand it down, verse 5 and 6. He said, which He commanded our fathers, they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now watch this. You know what that Bible says? Not only should my girls that I raise know about preaching, but my grandbabies ought to know something about preaching. They're to teach them to their young'uns. Now we've had a generation gap somewhere. Yeah, I've heard that all your life. Don't worry, I ain't going to preach about 45 more minutes. Wait, some of you looking, I may go and preach an hour and a half just to make you mad this morning. Generation gap. Somebody, someplace dropped the ball. But let me tell you something. We can't waller in that. We got to do something about it. We can't happen what's happened. We can do something about what we're doing. And so this generation to come, oh, we need to teach them about the Word of God. This is so important. And let me tell you something. A sideways Bible is no good. Well, what's a sideways? If it ain't got KJV on it, it's sideways. Ain't no sense coming seeing me out there, sir. There's a boy that got me out there to the car one time, and he is going to try to sort of negotiate. There's no negotiation about a King James Bible at Liberty Baptist Church. There's no negotiation about a Redback Church hymnal. No negotiation. I mean, don't even waste your time. I need to kill a deer. Amen. 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 If you want to go somewhere and argue, you go up there into the courthouse and argue with that bunch. I ain't going to argue with you. This is the Word of God. We sing old songs. We do things the old-fashioned way because we got an old-fashioned God. And don't waste my time to try to straighten me out. I got men on the front stand with me. And the back too. A generation to come on the Word of God. Now if I had a flaming swordsman in here today and he swallowed a sword and you left out, you know what your children would say? That man's goofy. So what? He swallowed a sword. What's the Word of God going to do for him out yonder at the schoolhouse? We got to get the Word in our children. Let them know what the Word of God is. We got to teach them about the Word of God. Number two, we need to teach them about the worship of God. Look what he said right here. Now he's talking about this generation to come. I want y'all to train them and teach them. Not only your youngins, I want your grand youngins to know about it. And I want it to be a chain reaction that they understand this thing about church. Now, I want to ask y'all something. Let's just think a minute. While we're thinking, and I know I ain't used to it, but I'm going to try it right now. I'm 50. And you can keep them remarks to yourself. Some of us just had a little tougher time in life. Let's say 20 years, I'm 70. Let's say 25. I think maybe if I'll watch stuff and the Lord don't come and I don't get too carried away on them peanut M&Ms by my bed, maybe at 75, I'll still be trying to preach. But I don't see 85. 30 years, who's going to take our place? What's Liberty Baptist Church going to be? Now, there's no doubt in my mind we're going to add another wing on this. I mean, it's no doubt in my mind. Ain't no doubt. No doubt in my mind. Sometimes there's doubts come in my mind, but I'm not doubting that, Brother Kevin. Brother Dave, that'll happen. But I want to ask you something. When we're gone, who's going to preach in it? Amen. Now, we ought to teach them not only about the Word of God, but number two, the worship of God. Look what he says. Now, this is what I want y'all to do. And I want you to get a hold of this. Because he says, on this worship of God, he says, I want you to, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing. Somebody say that for me. Showing. Say it again. Showing. One more time. Showing. To the generation to come. The praises of the Lord. I'm glad we go to church where we ain't got to talk about where somebody used to praise the Lord. You know, he says, I want you to show them the praise. Don't read them about it. I want you to get in on it. Some of you at the Georgia-Auburn game last night, I'd love to have seen you in your living room. When that boy intercepted that football, run across that goal, I bet you done a hallelujah. You come to the house of God and you say, I'd love to see you out yonder at the ball game and your little grand boy hits that home run or makes that touchdown. Man, you don't care who's in the stands by you. You just come beside yourself. You say, well, preacher, I'm not emotional. Is that right? How come you lose your temper? I'm not emotional, preacher. I'm not emotional. Well, how come sometimes you act ugly? Now, I can go a little deeper if I need to, but he says, I want you to show it. Now, this word praise, you know what it means? It means to celebrate. It means to commend. Here's a word. It means to rage, to shine, to boast. You know, congregation sings sometimes, I feel sorry for the leaders trying to lead y'all in song. Y'all saying, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He dropped me. I mean, victory in Jesus, my Savior, for sometimes He sought me and lost me. Now y'all know why I don't sing in my preaching. Praises. Well, I'll be teaching our babies how to worship. Sometimes y'all mom and dad's holding them babies, y'all throw their little hands up and teach them to get their hands up in church. You know, in school you raise your hand, doesn't mean you know the answer. I know the answer. Worship. Show. Look at that word. You ought to underline that. Show into the generation to come. In other words, they've got to see us do it before they're going to get in on it. I wish God would stir in our young people, Brother Ricky. I was telling Brother Adam this week, I said, you know, I wish God would go to stirring in them young people so that we didn't even have a chance to stand up and testify in our church. They're just popping up like popcorn, running the altar, loving on each other. I'm praying that'll happen in our young people. You know, worship means to adore. Worship really means to bow and to kiss the hand of the one, to lick the master's hand. But to praise means to be excited and boast about Him. And you know, I know every service. You know, I know today it's sort of flat and that type of spirit just sitting here. But you know what? You can still throw your hands up and say hallelujah. Still come to the altar and praise Him. So I want you to show your children about worship. Now, we ought to show it, and then we ought to shout it. If you've experienced salvation, you got something to shout about. Like Brother Randy taught this morning, you know, it don't matter how high you go in life, it's not the house, it's the foundation. And so we ought to show it, we ought to shout, and we ought to share it. Verse 4, look what he said. Praise the Lord in His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Has God done anything for you? Worship. Generation to come. The Word of God, the worship of God. And then the warnings of God. He said you ought to teach them that He is a God of wrath too. You've got to be born again or you die and go to hell. Hell's not changed, people. You know, smoking don't send you to hell. Drinking don't send you to hell. But you not being born again sends you to hell. But not trusting the darling Son of God as your Savior sends you to hell. God don't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. He sent the best thing He had to die in your place. The warnings of God, verse 7, He said that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We ought to teach them about the warnings of God. We ought to preach hell here. And we ought to preach it hot. You say, well, I don't want you scaring my young'uns. You better hope to the God of heaven the Holy Ghost gets them under conviction and gets them lost so they can get saved. Said, I want you to teach about the warnings of God. God's a good God, folks, but let me tell you what, there's a price to pay if you die lost. He's a God of love, but He's a God of wrath. God's just not a one-sided coin. He's just not at all in the blessing business. There's repercussions if you don't mind this book. teach them about the warnings of God. We see the lecture in verse 7 that they might set their hope in God. Now listen to me now, and we're going to go in a minute, but listen to me. I think every kid ought to have a goal. I think they ought to have energy to do good. I think they ought to have a goal to educate their self. If you can go to college, I'd go to college. I'd try my best to do the best for my family that I could. I'd put my first foot forward. And young men, when you shake a man's hand, you grip his hand and you look at him eyeball to eyeball and you shake his hand. And you say thank you and you say yes, sir, and no, sir. These old values and standards are still right. And I ain't seen none around here, but before you do, and you start wearing them breeches, ain't got no belt in them, I'm going to bring you a plow line to put around your waist next Sunday. And your breeches are slacking, we're going to take the slack up around here. And so you can't get no job walking in trying to hold both of your breeches up. Well, y'all don't like that, and I'll move on to the next. But I'm still trying to tell you right. There's the warning. There's the lecture that your hope is in God. It's not in the highest job in the land. That's not your hope. That should be a goal. That's fine, but that's not your hope. Your hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, honey, when your corporate world crashes down on you, Jesus is still going to be standing there with you. When your family busts up, Jesus is still going to be there with you. The lecture, then the nature, verse 8, he said, if you're not careful, you're going to inherit your father's spirit. It might not be as their father, stubborn and rebellious. We have an old nature that we have to teach our children to get. You don't have to teach your children to lie. Let me help some of you right quick. Turn this up, because they don't want to hear this. And I'm going to tell you something to help you. When your young'un starts throwing a fit and bucking and stiffing straight out and get red-faced, you know what you need to do? You need to just let him settle down and say, now, are you through now? Now, it's my turn. Kids throw a fit because they're not disciplined. You tear that backside up. Don't do it mad. Settle down. Teach them. You don't have to teach them to lie. You got to teach them not to lie. Oh, not my grandbaby preacher. Not my. Oh, yeah, you're a grand. You know why, hon? Because he got your nature. The lecture, the nature. Then verse 8, the departure. He said, don't let them be in the wrong spirit. Guide them. Bring them to the church. Guide them. Love them. Keep them in this kind of atmosphere. Teach them about God, the Word of God, the worship of God, the warnings of God. And then verse 9, we ought to teach them about the warfare of God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now they were trained. They were being armed. They were tuned. They carried bows. Do any of you have any idea the practice that it acquires to shoot a bow? They no doubt were trained men, tuned men, but they were turning around men. They turned back in battle. Now, let me go and tell y'all something right now. We make no advance when we're not fighting. This world tries to take our church, tries to take our young'uns. Their music, their lifestyle, their clothes, everything tries to just move in on. We just got to keep pushing. The problem with Christians now, we've sat down too long and we hadn't voiced nothing. We got to teach our children about warfare. Now they turned back in the day about, can I tell you a little bit about that? This ain't no time to turn back now. Wish I'd started on this point to start with. This is no time. In the heat of the battle. Brother Randy's talking about leadership and officers. You know how they're picked through the heat of the battle? You know, I remember Heartbreak Ridge. A lot of y'all get on me because I watch TV. I guess you think I'm supposed to sit in a corn crib with blinders on all week. But you know, I do like Clint Eastwood sometimes in his movies, you know. I mean, Outlaw Joseph Wells, it's on up there. Amen. Y'all don't, I get back here with somebody smiling so you can relate to what I'm preaching about. But there's a man, he made a movie on Heartbreak Ridge, and there he was, he had scars, he is cut. And so they're fixing to go to battle, Brother Gerald, and out stepped this little old boy from the ROTC unit, and he was going to be the leader. And old Clint looks at him like, surely this ain't fixing to happen. He had all of his badges where he'd done good in high school, but he never had been in a battle. You know, if I was going to get on an airplane, and I was going to fly to the Philippines, and by the time I get up, time I lay down, it's about 30 hours. Now, that's a trip, neighbor. That ain't from here to Ramburn at the post office. And I'm fixing to get on that airplane, and there stands a man, and he's sitting there, and he's got on one of those Waffle House hats. And I look at you, and he's sitting there, and he's got a little manual in his hand. I say, what you doing? He says, I'm reading about how to fly this airplane. You know what I'm going to say? Mission trip canceled. But you see an old boy over there with some stripes on his arms and stripes on his coat. In other words, he's made a few flights. You know what we need in our church, Brother Lee? We need some soldiers that seen some battles and that stood for right that our young people can say they've stood the test of time. We all have our problems, differences. And we're diverse individuals. We're not all Jack in the Box. We all have issues. But let me tell you something. We better learn how to fight the devil. Because if the devil can blow you out of God's house, you're going out. And the problem is you don't go out by yourself. You're taking somebody with you. And we better understand if it's ever been a time when the battle's raging. Look at abortion at the nation's highest. This is what amazes me about our new electors and our president. Nobody's concerned about religion no more. They don't care if you're a Muslim or an atheist. They just want their 401k to do good. Whatever happened to people wanting somebody that knew the Lord Jesus Christ and was ready to do what's right in America again? And I'm not using this as a politician pulpit. I'm just telling you where the rubber meets the road. We got a generation that's coming along. They need to know about warfare. They're after our Bible. Let me tell you what you do. You walk into a Christian bookstore. You look at the King James Bible supply and you look at the NIV. It's 4-1. It's hard. I challenge you. Somebody go down to the average bookstore in Anderson, Alabama and pick up what I preach out of. You got to look the country over for it. We're under attack. Independent, fundamental, conservative. Just because you're conservative don't mean that you're ignorant. It means that you're a smart individual. God said, a man don't believe in him, he's a fool. Lord, help our babies. Y'all got any idea, you grandparents, you know, y'all got any idea of what our grandbabies are facing if the Lord don't come? You got any ideas? Can y'all imagine in 1968, I was in the first grade. A woman started our class every morning with a Bible on her lap. And you know what she had on the other side of it? A paddle. How far we've come. Warfare. Mom and Daddy, you know it. Brother Randy said it right. You're a Christian. You're fundamental. You're conservative. And it's hard enough to keep you home together with Jesus. Much less this crowd knows nothing about Him. Listen to me. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Warfare. It's real deal. It's mind battles going on. Do you got any idea how many devils talk to me in them chairs over there? This one don't like you, preacher. This one don't like. This one ain't coming back. She ain't gonna play no more. She ain't gonna play. They ain't gonna sing no more. I mean, the place gonna fall in and close. Ain't gonna be no money come in, pay bills. I mean, it's unbelievable, the mind games. And you know something? What I've done found out, I'm not immune to the devil because I'm saved. I've got to fight him with my sword out of this book. There's been times I've come by. I've even needed men to say, look, I need you to pray for me and love on me and help me. And that's fine. If that's what we need, that's what we got to do to stay in the battle. I'm glad I got people with me. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Say, I'm with you. Turn around and tell them this morning. They need to hear this. Say, I'm with you. We're not each other's enemy. We're here to help each other and to be a blessing to one another. You may not wear an orange tie with a green suit. I told Brother Gerald I love his orange tie and his black shirt this morning. Some of y'all, well, let me tell you, we can all agree to disagree. When you get to a church this side, everybody ain't going to see it just alike. But I tell you what we can do. We can keep our mouths shut. Some of y'all visitors don't like us. I just thought I'd load your wagon before you left. We ain't got to run each other down. We ain't got to talk about what we don't like. Let's talk about what we do like. Some of y'all don't like them horns above the doors there. Them ram horns, y'all don't like them. That's why we didn't vote on them. That's why we didn't vote whether you're going to sit on your pew today or not. Because you try to get this crowd all together, hon, you'd have a zoo. So I just found out the best thing to do is mind God, go on and do it. I got leadership with me. Thank God for me, and I can lean on, get advice. Heartbeats through the church. Brother Tim, what you think? Brother Gerald, what you think? Brother Adam, what you think? Brother Jerry, what you think sometimes? I didn't mean that way it come out. Brother Steve, how it is sometimes? Sometimes I go by Brother Dennis's. I had the biggest pity party. Brother, this one thing. You know what he said, preacher? I love you, but don't get crazy. Preacher, they ain't against you. Sometimes it just feels good, though. Somebody tell me that they're with me. It's warfare. Yeah, I was thinking the other morning getting ready. Y'all been married a long time. We've been married, hon, what, 32 years? Boy, I got a point there, didn't I? Remembered that. 40. I want to ask y'all, I was thinking about, have y'all ever noticed, Brother, how long y'all, Miss Sheila, how long y'all been married? 41. Y'all ever notice how you don't never have no problems till Sunday morning? Y'all ever notice? I mean, everything's great. Well, we going to church in the morning. Now, hon, you get the clothes laid out, get them ironed, get the kids ready. We're going to church in the morning. We wake up and every devil in the community is done coming down in our Cheerios. Wonder why he would want you to come to King James Bible preaching church. Wonder why he would want you to come to a place where the altar's open and people pray. I wonder why he'd want you to come together, because he knows when you leave, you're going to leave in a different way than how you got out there. Mind games. Devil run you crazy with your mind. Now, a lot of y'all are going to laugh. And I don't, you know, I shouldn't say I don't care, because I do. I worry too much. Somebody say amen right there. God, I won't say this again. Y'all say amen. I worry too much. Amen. I can get up in my deer stand. And I do deer hunt. Everybody needs some relief fooling with y'all. Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
Now you call me. I got my phone on. I will return your call. Quit saying that stuff. I can't get my preacher. Some of y'all don't need a preacher. You need a referee. I'm setting up that tree and he's telling me everything in the world. I mean, these hounds of hell barking at the bottom of my sand. Yo, 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 yo. I come in here and they say, what's wrong with the preacher? Well, what could be wrong with our preacher? He rides the nicest ride. Thank God you keep me in a nice ride. Man, he wears nice clothes. What could be wrong with the preacher? What could be wrong with the preacher? I wonder if you preached in maybe 20, 25, 30 churches a year, would the devil bother you? I wonder if you led God's people into doing something maybe that the world was saying that it just didn't fit right now. Can I let y'all in on something? Earth don't run heaven. Thank God I've got a vision. And some of you may not like it, but I can see way off. I'm glad some of y'all got it with me. See sinners get saved. Miss Sherry, I want you to just kind of, I just want you to play this morning. I'm not done preaching it just like a stick of baloney. I'm just going to cut it off. I'm glad I can go to church and teach our babies about the Word. I'm glad we go to church and teach our babies about worship. I'm glad we go to church and teach our babies about warfare. You listen, Mom and Daddies, I appreciate your dedication to the house of God. Sunday night, our church is pretty filled. I appreciate that so much. And I'm going to tell you something. When I'm not here and I'm preaching off and Brother Mike's here, he appreciates it being full. He does. And let me tell you something. So many times, the devil, Brother Kevin, will tell you they don't want you there. They don't need you there. They've got singers. They got people who play piano. They don't need you there no more. I tell you what you tell the devil. You tell him to go back where he come from. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a generation to come. And you know what? They're counting on us. They're counting on us. I seen my little grandboy over there a while ago crying in Sunday school. I got thinking, you know, Parker, you're loud. Then I got to thinking, you know, I sure am glad his mom and daddy's got him here. CC's in one of the best deer leases in the country. He could be there this morning. My little girl had 1,000 reasons why not to get that boy ready to come to church this morning. See, Miss Christie caught her last night. She was sick. I seen her come around this morning. You know what little Mila done? You know what she done? I seen it. God let me see it. You know what Mila done this morning? She is on the back, Brother Chuck, and she had a little backpack on. You know what she's doing? She's following Mama and Brother to the house of God. She come right around there with her little backpack on. I got to thinking, praise God. Mom and Daddy's the devil to tell you your children's interrupting church. You know what? I can preach above a squalling young. A lot of people, they have kid churches, and that's their ministry. That's fine. But I want mine here sitting around the Holy Ghost. I want them knowing about worship. I'm wanting them to know about an altar open. I'm wanting to know about how that God can still do things in the hour that we live. I'll have to stop preaching. I'm not done. I'm just going to stop.